could speak on whatever I wanted. And then she suggested that you'd been looking at some psalms. So I was like, right, I'll have a think about some psalms. And the more and more I thought about it, the more this Bible passage just kept coming back to mind. So it might feel a bit random, but to me at least, but hopefully it'll mean something to you. The feeding of the 5,000, a really well-known story. And to help us think about that, I want to tell you a different story, not a true story. A bloke starts a new job at a zoo, and he's given three tasks. First, he's got to clear the exotic fish pool from weeds. And he does this, a huge fish jumps out and bites him. To show it who's boss, he beats it to death with a spade. Realising the employer won't be best pleased about this, he decided to feed it to the lions, because lions eat anything. Moving on to the second job, which was clearing out the chimp house, he is attacked by two chimps who pelt him with coconuts. He swipes at two chimps and unfortunately kills them both, so what can he do? He feeds them to the lions, he says to himself, because lions eat anything, and he had to get rid of the evidence. And he moved on to the last job, which was to collect honey from the South American bees. As soon as he starts, he's attacked by the bees. And he picks up a spade and he smashes them to a pulp, but he knows what to do by now, and he feeds them to the lions. Later that day, a new lion appears in the lion enclosure, and he goes up to the lion that's already been there, and he said, "What is the food like here?" And the lion says, "Absolutely brilliant. Today we had fish, chimps, and mushy bees." Have you ever had last-minute guests? Have you ever had people around when you're just about to dish up tea and it's questionable anyway because you sort of need to do a big job? Or have you ever had someone around when you know full well there's only enough prepared for the people who are going to be there? Well, this story that we read, that Rose read from Matthew, is all about feeding people. It's one of the best known stories in the whole Bible, the feeding of the 5,000. And that, of course, is just men. There were also children and women too. But Jesus had been preaching to the crowds, and the day ran on. And before they knew it, it was getting late, and everyone was hungry, and everyone was tired. So Jesus fed them. We know that he told the disciples to go and get some food. And we know that the only food that they could find were 5 loaves and 2 fish. Don't look at those pictures too closely. There might be 7 loaves, but we're going to pretend there's 5. So Jesus took the bread and the fish, and he prayed and he gave thanks. And the disciples distributed it to everybody who was there. And not only was there enough, but there were 12 baskets left over. Now, this story is found in every single one of the Gospels, and they highlight how Jesus went to the disciples who were panicking, wondering how on earth they were going to feed that amount of people. And all the disciples, they will have been brought up on stories in the book of Exodus. They will have heard stories of God's miraculous provision for his people. They will have heard how he led God's people out of Egypt. They will have known about how God led Moses. In fact, they were preparing to remember the Passover at that very time. One of the great events that took place when the Israelites were being brought through the wilderness was in Exodus 16, the manna. People were in the desert and God provided for them. God heard their call and God gave them food. God's provision for his people was so obvious, and they should have known that. And so surely the disciples should have known better. They should have known that God has done these things throughout generations. And not only that, they saw the miracles that Jesus were doing. But I wonder if perhaps it were just a little too distracted by their present situation that they forgot what God can do. And we do that, don't we? We forget what God can do. We forget what God has done for us in our lives so far, and we forget the possibilities that lie ahead. So I wonder if they were in such a panic that their own memories of God's provision just left their mind. They were perhaps hidden away. And this happens to us when we're in difficult situations, when we're waiting for God to answer our prayer, when we're wondering what the next steps are, we tend to forget the most obvious facts. In this case, they thought about the little that they had to work with. They said, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And when you look at 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and 5,000 plus people, it's not enough. But that doesn't account for God's involvement. With God, it's always enough. The disciples stood before Jesus with a tiny amount of food for the amount of people they had to feed. There was no way that that would feed them, and they knew it. But hadn't they seen Jesus perform other miracles? Hadn't they seen him do lots of different things already? Shouldn't they expect a miracle now? Early on in the Gospels, we know that Jesus and his disciples went to a wedding in Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine. Surely they'd remember that. Everybody was probably still talking about it. But no, in that moment of panic in the desert, to his disciples, Jesus was just another ordinary human being, unable to do the impossible. Now, I've got some optical illusions on the screen. Does anyone, put your hand up if you see a duck. Put your hand up here if you see a rabbit. See, this is one way you can see either a duck or a rabbit, or personally, I can see something that's trying to be a duck and a rabbit. I'm not really sure which it is. The next one, put your hand up if you see 2 faces. And put your hand up if you see a candlestick. The next one, you tell me, what do you see? A jazz player. Who sees jazz player? And who sees a face? Yes. And this one, are the 2 orange dots, are they the same size or are they different? Put your hand up if you think they're the same. Hand up if you think they're different. They're actually the same size. And this one, who thinks those lines are wavy or bendy? And who thinks they're straight? Those lines are actually straight, believe it or not. And my point with that is, how often do we not really look at what is there, but what our minds are telling us to see? I'm sure the poor disciples were all the more amazed and relieved when Jesus took charge of the situation, because all they could see was 5,000 people and not enough food. They had limited God. They had not accounted for what God can do when they thought there wasn't enough to feed the crowd. Now, Tom Wright, we've probably all heard of Tom Wright. He writes lots of commentaries. And when he speaks about this situation, taking a tiny amount of food to Jesus to enable him to feed the 5,000, he said this. I'll move out of the way, otherwise you can't read it. He says, "This is all that God calls us to do. We bring what just we have to Jesus in prayer. We tell him what we need, and then let Jesus bring the two together and make it enough for all." Maybe the 5 loaves and the 2 fish wasn't a lot. But then again, it's amazing what God can do with not a lot. And the most important lesson of all is that it doesn't matter how much you have. What matters most of all is what God can do with what you have. You've likely heard the term compassion fatigue. It happens when we see so much pain and anguish on the news or in our day-to-day lives, and we become immune to it, I would guess. Compassion fatigue is a defense mechanism when we see so much horror in the world, and there is so much horror in the world. We get used to it. It doesn't strike home so much. And besides, we think, we're just one person. What can I possibly do to make a difference in light of such overwhelming need? Or, if we're thinking about this story, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But God can take our not enough and turn it into more than enough. Amazing things can happen when we see with eyes of compassion, when we see with God's eyes rather than our own eyes, because God sees a different reality to us. And one thing that I am always reassured of is that Jesus never asks us to do anything that he's not given us the strength to do. But so often, we hold back. We can't offer more than ourselves to Jesus, but sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we don't even do that. The disciples took to Jesus what they had. Some accounts say that it came from a small boy. 5 loaves and 2 fish, it wasn't much. But he had the courage to offer it. Nobody else seems to have had the nerve, but why not? Well, it could have been fear of rejection. It's one of the most difficult fears to overcome. You don't go to Jesus with your 5 loaves and 2 fish because you're afraid he'll laugh and say, what am I meant to do with that? You don't go to Jesus and say, use me as you will, because you're afraid that he'll either send you off to work somewhere else where you'd really rather not, or you're afraid that he won't, that he'll say, I couldn't possibly use you, and sort of throw you aside like you're not worth anything. But that's not God. That's not the Jesus we read about in the Bibles either. We see time and time again how he longs for us, or he longs to be far more generous to us than we can imagine. And when we offer ourselves to him, it's like he says, great, now here's what you need to do in order to use the things that I've given you. You might be sitting there and thinking, well, I've prayed about it, I've spoken to God, I've offered myself to him, and he doesn't seem to be doing anything with me. But when we think about it, he is. When we offer ourselves to Jesus, he probably has placed us already where we're meant to be. Students are probably meant to be studying and waiting to see where the road leads next. Parents are probably meant to be setting up the safest and the best environments for their children. Older people are enormous sources of light to the rest of us with their wisdom and their experience, especially in our churches. In fact, it's always safer to assume that God has set you exactly where he wants you, doing exactly what you're doing. And if that should change, you'd be quite sure that we'll know about it unmistakably. But let's offer ourselves to him and see where he leads us. Now, Jesus' response to the boy and his fish and the disciples who took it to him was simply this. He said, bring them here to me. He directed people to sit down on the grass. He looked to heaven, he gave thanks, he broke it, and everybody ate. Everybody was satisfied. This tells us so much about what God is like. Jesus previously said that he only does what he sees the Father's doing. So God is clearly a generous God, because it isn't that there was just enough food to keep everyone happy for the moment. It's that there were 12 whole baskets left over. There was enough for everyone to have a decent meal and then some. And isn't that amazing? And that seems to be typical of Jesus. When he turned water into wine at Cana, he made enough for the wine to stock an off license, I'm guessing. Never mind enough for a few tail end of the party drinks. And when people were healed, they were healed. All of the miracles, Jesus did amazing things. And this story with the 12 baskets left over reminds us that God is generous to the point of extravagance. And also, it's Jesus who took the bread and shared it out. He did the serving. He gave it to his disciples to pass on. It was Jesus, elsewhere in the Gospels, who knelt with a towel and a basin, washing the disciples' feet. It was Jesus who said, the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. So this story helps to remind us that God longs and longs and longs to give us, his children, more good things than we can possibly imagine. He wants to make us whole. He wants to give us all the things that we need, not grudgingly or sparingly or barely enough, but overflowing with baskets left over. But there's more to it than that. Let's think about why Jesus was where he was in the first place. They crossed the lake. He went to have some time on his own. And when we read in other versions, it says they were on a mountainside. Why on a mountainside? Was it because it was pleasant? Was it because it was a nice, breezy place to be? A nice summer's day to go up a mountainside? It could be, but there's another reason. mountains for Bible reading Jews are equivalent or equal to Mount Sinai, the place where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And what were the people doing when Moses went up the mountain? They were wandering through the desert, having escaped from being slaves in Egypt. And as I said earlier, they were hungry and had no food, but God gave them food. Jesus, the new prophet, went up a mountainside like Jesus. So that tells us that the old law is gone and the new law is here, and the new way of doing things is through Jesus. Jesus is giving a new freedom to slavery that we can all experience. But the next thing, and the last thing you'll be pleased to hear if you think I'm going on a little long, is the tiny detail that often gets overlooked in the story. And that is simply that Jesus needs the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Other gospels say, like I said, they were given by a little boy. Jesus needed that little boy to come forward. How often do we pray for something? God, do this, or make this thing happen, stop this thing from happening. We pray for wars to cease. We pray for the hungry to be fed. We pray for the sick to get better. But in this story, Jesus doesn't magic that food out of thin air. He needs something from the 5,000, just as he needs something from us to work on. We pray for wars to cease, and God will do great things in answer to our prayers, but we need to offer a loaf and a fish. What are we doing to make war cease? Have we written a letter, supported a peace project? Have we even found out what's really going on? Because I get really confused by it too. We pray for the hungry to be fed, and God will do great things in answer to our prayers, but we need to offer something ourselves. Have we supported one of the many charities working with the hungry? Have we even found out we don't have to look far to where the starving people are? We pray for the sick to be healed, and God will do amazing things. But what do we do in support, in our care, in our understanding, back in research even? Jesus said, the disciples said to Jesus, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And what they remembered and what they learned was that God is enough. God is always enough. Just look what Jesus did with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everything we're taught about the kingdom of God starts with something really small. Parable of the mustard seed that took over a whole area, a widow and a small offering, yeast, a fishing net, a tiny pearl. And look at the major players in God's story. We have fishermen, we have lepers, we have tax collectors, we have 14-year-old peasant girl and her carpenter fiancé. The boy, God uses ordinary people. God uses people who we might disregard. But the boy brought something seemingly small and insignificant, but it was everything he could offer. It could have meant he had to go without. It was a sacrifice. But Jesus is God. He could have called down manna from heaven to feed the people, but he took what was offered and he used that. As you here at Downs Baptist, continue to offer all that you have to God. Be encouraged that he will use it to bring about his kingdom here in this place. God is the God who makes the impossible possible. Let's pray together. Well, God, we thank you that we can be reminded of the impossible things that you do. Help us to expect impossible things in our lives. Give us confidence to step out in faith when you lead us to. Give us confidence to speak to the stranger. Help us to always, always know that you have a plan, and help us to trust in that. Amen.